All right, welcome back to the Steve Gerber Show. Glad to have you on board with us. You know, when I was growing up, I've told you this before, but the ritual in my house, generally speaking, was that there was a card table back in the day when card tables were popular, right, and folding chairs. And oftentimes, if my father was around, that card table, we would set that up and we would eat dinner while watching Walter Cronkite. I don't know. It's what went on in my house because Walter Cronkite was that important. You know, you didn't miss watching the evening news on CBS with Walter Cronkite. And one of the things that was talked about that it's so clearly, it was talked about all the time, inflation. You know, when Richard Nixon was president and Gerald Ford and Jimmy Carter, inflation was talked about all the time, but not so much anymore. And I don't know why that is. Maybe our next guest can explain. Our next guest from the International Business Times, the Wall Street and Finance reporter, Owen Davis. Mr. Davis, welcome on board.
Glad to be with you.
Okay, so, I mean, this used to be something that got talked about all the time, was inflation in over 100 years from the year 1901 to the year 2001, generally speaking, if you take out the years that Jimmy Carter was in Washington. The inflation rate usually came out at about 3.8%, average over 100 years. Why do we never hear about inflation anymore?
Inflation for the last 5 or 10 years, and really going back a couple decades, has been far lower than the average over the previous decades. Right now, we have core inflation. So, if you leave out some volatile things like energy prices or food prices, core inflation is less than 2%. It's actually well below 2%, something like 1.7% right now, and that's far short of what it has been in times past, and it's also below where the Federal Reserve actually wants it to be. You often hear about the Federal Reserve raising interest rates in order to keep inflation down. For the last several years since the recession, actually, the story has been the opposite. It's been the Federal Reserve wants to see inflation pick up because that would tell us that the economy is really firing on all cylinders, and it just hasn't happened yet.
Now, that's interesting because you mentioned that certain things are not included, food and energy. Those are the two most important things on somebody's home budget is food and transportation, I would think, are the two most critical things on, you know, your home budget, how you run your household and so forth. Why would those not be included in an inflation snapshot?
So usually economists and you know, the Federal Reserve is included here, leaves those categories out because they fluctuate a lot based on factors that don't have a lot to do necessarily with how the overall economy is doing, but it is a valid concern. Food and gas prices are things that really impact consumers. The other thing you might add to that is housing. Rent costs and housing costs also play a huge part in ordinary people's finances. Those are included in this what they call the core inflation. But it is true that when the economists are looking at overall inflation, they're going to leave out food and energy. But even when you include those, inflation hasn't been very high of late. In fact, in the last year, it was even dampened even further by the fact that energy prices fell precipitously since the end of 2014, and only recently have oil prices started to rise again, and that's bringing inflation back up a bit. The question is whether it's going to bring inflation up to that 2% target that the Fed is looking for.
Yeah, and I hear you're talking about this one, and I wonder, I wonder how the average consumer feels about this. I mean, obviously, when energy prices go up, it impacts their budget. When the price of food goes up, it impacts their home budget. So they are volatile measures. I'll give you that. But where do you think we stand? You know, across the board, incomes over the last few years, we all know, have gone down across the country for a lot of folks. The ability to make ends meet has gotten tougher. So these volatile prices on energy, which lately it's been great, gas prices are cheap. You know, the cost of the grocery store seems to be relatively okay. But where are people overall when it comes to buying power?
Buying power has not increased greatly in terms of take-home income and in terms of making ends meet. Even though the economy has really expanded, corporate profits have increased, and you've seen the economy get back to basically where it needs to be to not be falling off the brink. But at the same time, you're right. The ability to just pay for everything in an ordinary budget on what people are making has not increased greatly, even though the economy has expanded over the last 5 years. Some of the factors that are biggest there are the prices of healthcare prices.
Sure.
So looking at the price of medicine, looking at the premiums you pay to private health insurance, those have skyrocketed. They're actually, those prices are going up slower than they had been, but we're still talking about 6-7%, or at least 4-5% in the terms of premiums, and drug prices even higher than that, the rate that they're rising at. And housing, too. Rent costs have been a huge contributor to people's ability to make ends meet, and rent, especially in the last year or two, have really skyrocketed across the country. So those are some of the things that are making it, you know, when economists say inflation is low and ordinary people say, well, what about, you know, I'm paying $100 more a month to live in my apartment or...
It may be, because that impacts their bottom line. I understand their point of view. And the other thing that I see, Owen, so I want to ask you a question here. We're on with Owen Davis from the International Business Times, the Wall Street and Finance reporter there. Gross domestic product. This will be the first president, Barack Obama will be in American history, that did not have or did not oversee an increase of 3% or better in any single year for GDP while he has been president. So give me a general overview on the health of the economy in your estimation.
So when you're looking at the Obama presidency, it helps to look at the context, which is we had the worst financial crisis since 1929 in the year before his presidency. So when we're making comparisons, it's important to look at the fact that this is not even a once-in-a-generation event. It's once in several generations. So when economists look at that, they look at something called the output gap. So when that financial crisis struck, we had an entire year, 2 years, where the health of the economy was set back completely. You can imagine an athlete sitting on the bench for a couple years. When they come back to play, they're not going to be playing at full potential. But that doesn't explain everything. It's certainly the case that GDP growth has not risen to where it was in previous decades, especially, you know, you look at the golden years of the 1950s and 60s when
sure.
GDP was rising far faster than that. But this is also a longer-term trend. It goes back to the 90s.
Let me ask you this. I mean, George W. Bush spent, what, $700 billion into the economy? Barack Obama did his stimulus package of $800 billion, so $1.5 trillion, among other things, over the course of the last 6-7 years. Are you telling me those policies didn't work?
I think when you look at the economic consensus, and know they've polled economists about that, they would actually say that those stimuluses helped, but they didn't go nearly far enough. I know a lot of people will say, well, that's a huge number, $1.5 trillion between the Bush tax cuts and Obama stimulus package. But when they were trying
to... Wait. You're suggesting we should have spent more money and put ourselves at, what, $25 trillion in debt to jumpstart the economy? I'm not following. I guess that's a Keynesian point of view.
And after you know, when you look at the overall amount of activity in the economy, when the private sector really contracted after the financial crisis, that's generally when the government steps in, and that's what the Obama stimulus did. A lot of the majority of economists who've been polled about this will say that $800 billion stimulus was actually not enough. These are once in generation, like I said, you know, once in several generations event.
I guess I will respectfully disagree with that assertion. I think all it does create more long-term debt for us. Owen Davis, I appreciate your time from the International Business Times, Wall Street and Finance Reporter. We got to run.
Thank you.